I'm talking about, I'm going to talk about scalar multiplication and division chains. You know, in elliptic curve cryptosystems, the most important operation is scalar multiplication of a given base point. And we will investigate how to perform this operation fastly. Okay, here's the outline of my talk. I will start with the motivation, where I define exactly what scalar multiplication is and how we can compute it in the most naive way. Then in part 2 and 3, we come to some easy double and add algorithms, where we the binary representation of the scalar n and scan these strings from left to right and right to left to see how we can perform n times p per point. In part 4, we extend these techniques and in the last part, we will look at some windowing methods. Okay, let's start with the motivation. We have given an arbitrary group G, an element P in that group, and the scalar N. The task is to compute N times P efficiently. In our case, G is an additively written group, so we write N times P. If G is a P, maybe I switch it off. If G is a multiplicative group, we would write P to the N instead of N times P. But if we consider elliptic curves and the group of point on an elliptic curve, this group is written additively, so we keep using N times P. Okay, as I said before, scalar multiplication in DL-based cryptosystems is the most important operation, and we will look how to compute this efficiently. Very nice to perform an addition of our base point P n times. This takes n, and this is quite slow, so we want to avoid this. If by any chance n is a power of 2, then we can compute n times p using repeated doublings. But this is not the normal case, so we have to think of about other methods. And the next better method is a double and add algorithm, which I want to show you here. Double and add means that we perform a doubling in each round of the algorithm and perform an addition only in a special case. So as an input of that algorithm, we take an element P. Maybe I call it a point because I think of the group of points of an elliptic curve. And the scalar N, which is given in the binary representation from N0 to NL-1. Okay. The main loop starts in step 2, where we begin to scan the binary string from left to right. And as you can see in step number 1, we perform a doubling in each round. And we perform an addition in step 2, only in the case if the current bit is set. So we have double and add. And then in step 3, we come to the next bit. So that's it, almost. Quite easy. Here we have an example of that algorithm. We want to compute 45 times p. Here we have given the binary representation of 45. And here we have the steps of the algorithm. We start just with p. This p comes from the first bit on the left-hand side. Then we come to the second bit. This is 0. So we just perform a doubling. So we come from P to 2P here. No addition. The third bit is 1 again. So we perform again doubling and an addition. And so on. Up to the last bit, the last bit on the right-hand side. This is 1 again. So we perform a doubling and an addition. And if you expand this expression, you get 45P. So okay, this is the left-to-right algorithm, and we have also the right to left version of the switch. I'm doing it. This works more or less the same. But the difference is that we have this. Okay, that helped, thanks, yeah. Okay, the variable S is doubled in each round, and in step one we check if the current bit is set, and if this is the case, and we add this value S to our variable R, and then we go on to the next bit from right to left. That's more or less the same. Okay, some remarks about this. What about the complexity of these algorithms? The right to left and the left to right binary algorithms need L-1 doublings, the length of the bit string, and we have L-double in each round, independent of the current bit. And we have W weight. This is the number of non-zero bits in the representation, so the number of ones. And we have to perform an addition for each one in the binary string, so this gives us the number of needed additions. This algorithm has an average, no, not the algorithm, the binary representation has a density of 1/2. The density is the number of non-zero digits divided by the length of the whole bit string. So we have only zeros and ones, so this is on average 1/2. Okay, now how can we improve these methods? We go to the non-adjacent form, NAF form. And the idea here is that we not only use 0 and 1, but we use 0 and plus minus 1. This makes sense, at least when we use elliptic curve crypto systems, because on an elliptic curve we can perform the addition of points and the subtraction of two points with the same effort. So the negation of a point is for free, so we can add and subtract for the same cost. So what we do is we want to write the scalar n as the sum like this, but the coefficients ni can be 0 and plus minus 1. That's the difference. An important property of the NAF form is that no two consecutive digits are non-zero. That means that the product of two following digits is always zero. That makes it special. We have several signed digit representations, but NAF is unique. You will see that next slide. Okay, the average density of the NAF form is 1/3, which is much better than the binary representation. Okay, here we have algorithm 3. This algorithm computes the NAF form for given binary string. I will not explain all the steps, but you can see it in the next slide where I have an example. But you see that we compute a series CI and NI, and I have here a table where we have these. Okay, we want to compute the NAF form of 15. The binary string of 15 consists of 4 ones. Okay, if we divide the number of non-zero digits by the length, we have a density of 1, which is really bad. If we use this binary string together with a double and add algorithm, we have to perform 4 doublings and 4 additions. This is most bad, the worst case. So for that reason, we convert 15 to this string, the NAF form. As you can see here, we have no two consecutive bits that are non-zero. And the density is only 2 over 5, which is not bad. So we have to perform 4 doublings, and 1 addition, and 1 subtraction, which is much better. Okay, but what about this line here? We can 15 also represent like this. We have 16 minus 8 plus minus 4 plus 2 plus 1. This is also 15. But we have here three non-zero digits in a row. So the important property of the NUF is not fulfilled. So this is not a NUF form. So actually this is a mistake, forget about it. But this is called a five-digit representation. So we have many five-digit representations, but the NUF form is unique. And another thing is that the NUF form has the smallest density you can achieve with five-digit representation. So this is the best thing you can get with these three digits. Okay, algorithm 4 computes the scalar n times p with NUF form. And this is similar to the simple double and add algorithm, except for line number 3. So you see in the loop, we start by step 1 with doubling in each round. And then we check in step 2 if the current bit is equal to 1, then we perform an addition. If the current bit is minus 1, then we perform a subtraction. The next method is the 2 to the k array method, which is again better. The idea here is that we use more digits than just 0 and plus minus 1. We have a set S consisting of all the digits, and we have a common base, a common choice for base, this is 2 to the k for some k, and the okay, and the digits are 0, 1, and so on, up to 2 to the k minus 1. And what we do is we take the binary representation of a number, for example here, 241, and we chunk it up into block size k. In this example, k is 3. And then we compute the values of each block here. This is 3, this is 6, and this is 1. And we have our 2 to the 3 array representation of 241. Okay, to perform the scalar multiplication, we have to do some pre-computation. Namely, we have to pre-compute 1p, 2p, 3p, and so on, up to 2 to the k minus 1. In this example, this is up to 7. Okay, and on the next slide, I will show you how to compute the scalar multiplication using this new representation. This is again similar to a double and add algorithm. We perform not a doubling here in line 1, but we perform a multiplication by 2 to the k. Okay, and then in step 2, if you recall the double and add algorithm, we have checked if the bit is set or not. The situation here is different. We check only if the bit is equal to 0 or not. If it is equal to 0, we don't do anything. In the other case, we perform an addition, but not just with p, but with ni, which is the current bit, times p. And since the blocks are, the values of the block can only be up to 2 to the k minus 1, and we have pre-computed all these, we can just perform one addition here, because we have already stored these values here. So we have multiplications and additions. Okay, here's an example. Again, we take 241, and we have here the 2 to the 3 array representation. This is 3, 6, 1. And we have pre-computed the values p, 2p, and so on, up to 7p. And, okay, we start with the algorithm. We have only 3 steps. We start here with r equal to 3p, This comes from the first bit on to the left. Then instead of performing a doubling, we perform a multiplication by 8. 8 is 2 to the 3. We get 24p. And the next step, our next bit is 6. So we add 6p to it. And 6p is already pre-computed, so we have only one addition here. Then we go to the next step here. We multiply again by 8, by 2 to the 3, and come to 240. And then we are on the last bit, which is 1. And here we have p. And in total, we have 241p, with only 3 rounds of our algorithm. It's a very compact representation. Okay, but we can even improve this by using a sliding window. This means that we can move the window more or less, and I will show you how it works. We will again take the binary representation of a number, and then we start scanning this string from right to left. And the thing is that we skip consecutive zeros, which you can see here. We skip these. This is our first block. Then we skip the zeros. This is our second block and our third block. And the idea here is that if the first bit of each block is 1 and we start scanning from right to left, the value of each block is always odd. So we don't have to pre-compute even values. So we can save 50% of the pre-computations. So our digits, set of digits here, S prime, consists only of the odd integers, 1, 3, 5, and so on. And we don't have to pre-compute 2p, 4p, 6p, and so on. This is the first advantage of this method. The second is that we can achieve a smaller density.